Technorama episode 587, Get Outer My Space! Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the random collection of news and fake news and some
and
other
faker
stuff.
News.
Future news. And retro news.
And faker news.
And just weird nerd geekiness that we call Technorama. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and right over there is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well.
How many years is it? We're coming up on 15-year anniversary?
We're coming up on 15. I was cooking up a plan for episode 600, but we'll have to talk about that later offline.
Yeah.
In our Technorama board meeting.
We might have to start a GoFundMe page for your level of plans.
Maybe. But yeah. Yeah, 15 years in what, April?
May 1st.
May 1st. That's no, yeah, I was going to say no joke, but that would be April 1st.
This is May Fools is what you call Technorama.
May Fools. That's right.
Is that our listeners?
Yes.
Both of them. All right. Both of them. And we feel very fortunate and blessed to be able to take our hobby to work. Oddly enough, we're doing a show very similar to this with real news for work. We just get to do and a whole bunch of other people take care of all the processing stuff. We take care of the content, show up and talk.
That's what I like.
Yeah, but that's more of a have to. This is a want to.
Yeah, see, in that situation, we're referred to as the talent.
And what are we here? Chopped liver.
Yeah, a couple of lugs.
All right. We asked you last week, we have our feedback. Yeah, we should do the feedback with the feedback question and music. Because this is part of our feedback, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We have letters. We have even more letters.
Letters.
Ladders.
A 20-footer.
I love those letters. B7.
Bingo. You know, I was going to try and sing before the lag, but it's kind of hard to.
It is.
To get my head wrapped around it.
They were talking about ladders. I have a step ladder because I never really knew my real ladder. Where is it? Okay.
All of my ladders are step ladders.
Before we get into the feedback question, though, we do have actual letters. And thank you. Thank you very much for the wonderful Christmas card. This one came from, you guessed it. This one's from Craig and Kim and Harrison. We have one from Mark the Uncaffeinated One. He has really, really cool handwriting. I can't really see it because the lighting is washing it out.
It looks like elvish.
It is kind of elvish. And he also sent along a Computer History Museum keychain, which is...
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which has a circuit board. It's like a one-sided PCB.
Nice. Awesome.
So, very classic and historic. Oh, yes, that's right. His signature in the card is a SQL statement. It's update users U calendar C set U dot heart equals light, U dot holiday equals happy, U dot season equals bright, C dot feeling equals merry, where username, U dot username equals C Tomasi, and U dot user ID equals C dot user ID. He's got a join in there, man. It's just pretty talented.
Wow. That is pretty good.
We do have a postcard. This isn't necessarily holiday-ish, but we have one from our wonderful postcard traveler, Yorga.
Yeah. I don't have mine at the ready, but yes, I have one as
this
well.
This was from... Göteborg, Sweden. I hope I said that even closely.
Göteborg.
Don't do it.
Förstidigberg.
Oh, he had to do it. We have a very nice Peace on Earth card and letter from Amy Bowen.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got one from Clinton, Bonnie, and family.
Yep. All those smiling faces. Look at that.
And Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And photo
Clinton
on the
Bonnie
back.
And Nathan.
And the rest.
Yeah.
Picture on the front and back. We got one from Crazy Joe. and family with beautiful picture of his lovely daughters.
Yes, I got one of those as well.
So very nice. Thank you.
Mine are actually in my inbox for scanning. So
we didn't forget on the last show. We just didn't get a chance to them, and we want to make sure we had them all gathered up together. So thank you to Donna, my wonderful archivists, for going through this and saying, hey, here's a whole bunch. Why don't you put those on the show? We have one from Jack Mangan and family.
Nice.
Thank you. And also pictures on the back.
Aww. His
beautiful daughter, who will be two in a few weeks.
Jack surrounded by women.
And one from Scott and Ann Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you very much to everybody who sent the Christmas holiday cards this way.
See, I like to scan mine in. So just, you can remember who sent you one last year.
Evernote forever.
That's right.
So we actually did get real letters this time around. And the virtual stuff we asked you. You gain the ability to stop time, and after stopping time, what's the first thing you do? Several people said, take a nap.
Yeah.
I liked that response.
Well, I was in the car with Fred, by the way, and I asked him that question, and he started trying to define what's actually stopped. It's like time. And like in a bubble around, just around you, or
yeah.
Like, don't try and define it. Just
everything stops. You now have infinite time to do whatever you want. What are you going to do? And are you aging while the time is stopped? So Mike Robeson said, I wonder how large of an explosion will be caused by my body moving faster than light compared to the rest of the area of the space I affected.
Yeah.
Alexis Duran says, take out a Sharpie and start drawing on everyone I can find. I like that. Also hope I can start it up again.
Yeah. You can stop time. Nobody said anything about starting it. You're
Clinton
screwed.
Says, check to see if I'm zipped up.
That's right.
What else do we have? We have sleep. What do we had some shares, including yours and mine, so I'll pull those up. Those are the ones that were on the Technorama page.
Yep. Let's see. On yours. Yeah, another nap. Hammer time.
Yeah, Brian Parker said bust a move on yours. To which his wife replied, you have a problem, sir.
That's funny. Another napping one. Yeah. Like that's the winner there. I think everybody will take a nap.
Well, we have a bunch of people who are ready to rest.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking about that. If you stop time, you couldn't like pull out your phone and look something up because everything stopped. Even the hard drive spinning or.
Oh, you got to walk everywhere you need to go. Well, I guess you could take out a bike or some mechanical means and go somewhere.
Again, we're trying to define how the stop timing works.
Yeah, are all the electrons just frozen in place?
Yeah.
Don't know. We're just having fun. We'll have another question for you at the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, who contributed to that one.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
FJ.
What did FJ say?
I'll never tell what he's going to do.
All that for that. Okay. Another letter from our listeners, Dave. Well-oiled machine.
Yeah, you'd think after 15 years we'd have this figured out.
Heck no, that's half the fun. Chicken wire and baling twine. That's why we practice here, so we can be professionals at work.
Or chicken twine and baling wire.
There we don't have quite the level of production. I mean, there is video, but the occasional sound effect for our work-related one.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that in post. Okay, let's do the history thing finally. There's a lot of history on this one. Oh my gosh, it's crazy week. On this day in history for January 22nd, 2020, this is the 22nd day of the year, hence the date January 22nd. In the Gregorian calendar, there are 344 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1889 that Columbia Phonograph is formed in Washington, D.C.
And that same date in 1927, Teddy Wakelam, is that an L? Wakelam?
Wakelam, yeah.
Wakelam, all right, gives his first radio commentary of a football match anywhere in the world between Arsenal FC and Sheffield United at Highbury.
Did you see that ridiculous display last night?
Anywhere in the world, huh? Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to make that make sense of that. Commentary of a football match anywhere in the world.
It was the first commentary on, it was our first radio commentary of a football match. Nobody in the world has ever done that before.
I was like, nobody was streaming it.
In 1927? No, I don't think they were. It was on this date in 1946 that the creation of the Central Intelligence Group, the forerunner of the Central Intelligence Agency. They went from a group to an agency.
Pretty soon they have a band. Also on that date in 1947, KTLA, the first commercial television station west of the Mississippi River, begins operation in Hollywood.
It was 52 years ago today that Apollo 5 lifts off from carrying the first lunar module into space.
Also today in 1970, the Boeing 747, the world's first jumbo jet, enters commercial service for launch. Customer Pan Am or Pan American Airways, Pan Am, which its maiden voyage from the John F. Kennedy International Airport to London Heathrow Airport.
1970. Congratulations, your 747s are now 50 years old. How does that make you feel?
51 years old.
You're older than a jumbo jet.
By 1 year.
It was on this date in 1973 that the crew of the Apollo 17 addresses a joint session of Congress after the completion of the final Apollo moon landing.
Wow. Also on January 22nd, 1984, the Apple Macintosh, the first computer to popularize the computer mouse and the graphical interface, is introduced during a Super Bowl XVIII.
That's 18.
I know. 18 television commercial.
So when they get to Super Bowl 100, is this going to be Super Bowl C?
C. Maybe, I guess.
Well, it was Super Bowl L. No, they actually did a 50 on that one. They got away from the Roman numerals. I'll bet they do 100.
I didn't really pay attention, I guess. Yep.
The Space Shuttle Discovery launches on STS-42, carrying Dr. Roberta Bondar, who becomes the first Canadian woman and the first neurologist in space on this date in 1992.
All right, and happy birthday goes out on this date.
Wait a minute, you skipped over the last date.
Oh, I thought that was the last one. Oh, sorry. January 22nd, 1998, Space Shuttle Endeavour launches on STS-89 to dock with the Russian space station Mir.
Uh-huh, I got you on one. See, usually I'm the one who skips over things.
See, I thought I was reading it. I just read it in my head, that's all.
No, there were two space shuttle things. That's probably what screwed you up. STS-42 and STS-89. Happy birthday goes out of the state to English poet, soldier, courtier, and explorer Walter Raleigh, born on the state in 1552. Guess what city in the U.S. is named after him? That's right, Walter, Oklahoma.
Raleigh, North Carolina?
That's correct.
All right.
Born, would you like to try for two?
Yeah. It wasn't Charlotte. Okay. Born January 22nd, 1592, French mathematician, astronomer, and philosopher Pierre Gassendi.
American director, producer, and screenwriter D.W. Griffith was born 145 years ago today. Birth of a Nation guy.
And brace yourself, kids. Hungarian mathematician and academic Frigyes Riesz. Born on this date in 1880.
I'm going to leave that one alone because I can't do any better.
Yes.
American singer-songwriter Sam Cooke was born 89 years ago today.
And I love this guy. Bill Bixby, the American actor and director, was born 86 years ago today.
And I think he did a version of the Retro Encabulator commercial, too.
He did?
Yeah. Also born on the same date. No, I'm thinking of the commercial he did for... not History of the World. Kentucky Fried Movie. Anyway, also born on the same date in 1936, American physicist and chemist, Nobel Prize laureate Alan J. Heger.
And John Hurt, the English actor, was born 80 years ago today.
I love his movies. Also born on that same date in 1949, American singer, songwriter, and producer Steve Perry. Oh, Sherry.
Steve Perry. American captain, pilot, astronaut, all-around awesome guy. Thomas David Jones, born on this date in 1955.
I'll bet he has a crew cut. American DJ and producer DJ Jazzy Jeff is 55.
Wow. Also born on the same date in 1968, American chef, author, television host, Guy Fieri.
English-American singer, songwriter, and actress Olivia Dabo was born on this date in 1969. And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 22nd, 2020. I think there's still more music to go. Oh my gosh, I thought we were running out. All right, then we'll do the listener birthdays real quick. Happy birthday on January 15th, Ralph Whitfield, a.k.a. Goofy Ralph. 17th is Fuffy Frog from Canada. There's the end.
Now from Thailand.
21st, Michael Rebeles. 22nd, TAWO210122294. Why aren't you at your post?
His pin number.
Kathy Luke from Illinois on the 23rd. Also on the 23rd, Chris Moody from Patio Media Chat. Keith Lane. There, he gets a bell.
Dang.
I didn't hear.
Yeah.
From TG Geeks on the 23rd. Happy birthday to Keith. We celebrated his birthday this past weekend. We went out to dinner with him and some friends.
Yeah, I saw that picture. It was awesome.
Cynthia Fry on the 24th. There's some guy named Craig Stepp, one of these days around here. 25th, I think.
What a jerk. What a jerk.
Wish someone would send him a podcasting book or something. Will the computer guy on the 26th. Mark in Memphis on the 27th. There's a name we haven't heard from in a while.
Yes.
And Chip Burkhead from the Scotchcast on the 27th. If you want to be on our birthday calendar, there's a link on the bottom of the screen if you're watching on the video. Thank you very much, Donna, for putting that up there. Otherwise, you can go to chuckchat.com/wiki, get your name on the birthday calendar. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and you're not on there, well, happy birthday to you anyway. We had a little catching up to do. That's why we ran out of music. Yeah. So thank you very much, everybody. Let's do the news thing. First story is... I think this demands the impending news, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Or good startling news. Where's the impending news? We'll do this one.
Good startling news, everyone!
Because this is kind of startling.
Far be it from us to plan that out ahead of time.
Yeah. The show's put together about 10 minutes before you see it. Or hear
That's
it.
Right.
That's pretty much... You can watch SpaceX blow up a Falcon 9 rocket to prove it's safe for people. This kind of reminds me of car crash tests.
Yeah. Well, they did have a couple of dummies in there.
Editor's note, the launch was postponed to Sunday, January 19th, so it's already happened. Launch window opening at 8 a.m. Eastern time. The text has been updated below. On Sunday morning, a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket is expected to lift off from the launch complex 39A. Oh, famous 39A. How we miss you.
Mm-hmm. It's still there.
Yes, it is. I mean, I haven't been there in a while.
Oh.
The same launch pad where astronauts departed for the moon 50 years ago, a Crew Dragon capsule will be mounted atop a rocket just as it will be later this year when SpaceX sends its first astronauts on a mission to the International Space Station. But this time, neither the rocket nor its payload will make it to space. Ooh, sounds ominous. Well, anyway, that's the point. Just a minute and a half after launch, the Falcon 9 will kill its engine and the Crew Dragon will fire its Super Draco engines to separate from the rocket. At this point, the rocket will... This is probably history now. People can watch the video of what actually happened.
Yeah, there's a video right there below in the article.
I don't think that's the real thing, though. I thought that had some
animations on it. It's a demonstration, but there is a video.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was it. But there is a video. I watched it and you can see it. Pretty cool.
Elon Musk says, we tried to design a way to save B-1046, but not possible. Not sure who B-1046 is or what B-1046 is. Because
I think
not
that's the he's referring to the rocket.
Okay.
It's the rocket's block number, it says.
He's dead, Jim. So instead he wrote, it will be destroyed by a dragonfire.
Dragonfire.
Thanks, Smaug.
It's really cool when the capsule comes loose from the rest of the rocket. It has like, it's like four retro engines. Those are the Dragon engines.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of thrust, not as much as the rocket itself, but enough to push that payload with people in it, you know, away from the exploding rocket fast enough, and the demonstration was really cool. You could see the rocket blow up. It kind of reminded me of seeing like, you know, the Challenger or Columbia or something like that. But, when you see it blow up, but you can see the capsule flying away from it. And apparently everything, worked as planned. The parachutes, deployed and I think the dummies came down all right. They had sensors all in there so they could see, make sure that they weren't under undue stress, you know? So, yeah.
I did not see it. So we'll have to watch for that. This is being recorded a day after that event took place.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can go view it now. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Would you like to move on to our next story?
Let's do that.
All right.
So Google CEO Sundar Pichai, I never can pronounce his last name right, doesn't want you to be clear-eyed about AI's dangers. I think he's taking the right stance here a little bit. So Alphabet and Google CEO Sundar is the latest tech giant kingpin to make public call for AI to be regulated while simultaneously encouraging lawmakers towards a dilute enabling framework that does not put any hard limits on what can be done with AI technologies. In an op-ed published in today's Financial Times, Sundar makes a headline-grabbing call for artificial intelligence to be regulated, but his pitch injects a suggestive undercurrent that puffs up the risk for humanity not letting technologists get on with the business as usual to apply AI in a population scale. With Google's chief claiming AI has the potential to improve billions of lives, mm-hmm. and at the risk, failing to do so. Therefore, seeking to frame his no hard limits as actually the safest option for humanity. So simultaneously, the pitch downplays any negatives that could cloud the greater good, and he implies AI will unlock. Potential negative consequences as simply being the inevitable and necessary price of technological progress.
Cyberdyne systems.
Yeah.
Those are potential negative. Skynet's a potential negative consequence, right?
Well, I guess, and it's, I don't know if it would go quite that far, but it could. I mean, or you know, if you think about it, if an AI became driven by certain things and he had access to stuff, he could take your passwords, log into your bank account, transfer it to something, you know, who knows, before you even realize it. Which is the sad thing.
You're done.
You sell your stocks and your house is old, all before you know it.
As long as I get the money.
Yeah. So I kind of get that. I'm not a huge fan of regulation, but I don't know how you would regulate something like that.
No, I don't either. And I don't know if our government is the right people to do that, because they seem to be a little slow on the technology curve in terms of setting and adopting proper policies for things like that.
Well, that's why I don't like the government doing things like this, because just what you said, they're a little slow, you know. The whole thing could shift into another direction and, you know, they'd still be dealing with an old policy, you know?
Right. Oh, I missed one thing I got in the mail. So we got letters, but we also got a whole book.
Whoa. Oh, you bought the book?
No, it was a gift.
It was. Okay.
It was a gift from Michael Cook, one of our ServiceNow developers. And he had a very nice note inside it on ServiceNow letterhead, if that's a letter, mm-hmm. I guess. It says, "Hey, Chuck, was wandering around a community yard sale a few weeks ago and saw this book on a table for 50 cents.
Right.
This is the book. Bill McDermott is our new CEO. So you've got this. And I think you said most of these stories he's already told in public. But
well, some of them he has.
Okay.
When he came on board, you know, they had a big thing and they were talking about some of the, it was with our previous CEO and of course Bill McDermott, and they were telling some stories, and some of that came across. I was like, okay. So when it got to that part in the story in the book,
you heard the story about the paper route. You heard the story about the deli and the arcades.
Yeah, the deli. Yep. Yeah, stuff like that, okay. which was pretty good.
I mean, there's only so many ways when you do your shtick. There's only so many ways you can tell your story, your history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either the short version
or the long version that makes a book.
Yeah. No, no, I wasn't beating him up over it. I was just like, right. It just kind of reinforced the story. I went, oh, that's what he was telling. And it went into a little more detail on some things.
Gotcha.
I thought it was good. I liked his hustle. That's what I liked, is he was trying to find his way to deliver what the customer wanted. And which, you know, I've kind of had that hustle. I didn't go to college or anything. So I feel like in my career, I've had to kind of had that hustle a little bit. So I can relate to a lot of that.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike, for the book. I will begin reading it as soon as I'm done with this latest series on Netflix. Got to finish that up. We are going to take a quick break, but we will be right back in just a few seconds. So hang with us.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Greetings, programs.
And applications.
I'm Ben.
And I am Keith, and we are
the Two Gay Geeks.
We are the nerds behind TG Geeks Webcast,
where we talk about sci-fi,
comics,
film,
horror,
genre.
You name it, we talk about it.
We release an episode every Monday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern.
You can find us on iTunes, Blueberry, Spreaker, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Also, look us up on YouTube. And of course,
we can be found at tggeeks.com, where you can find not only our webcast,
but articles about other geeky goodness.
So come along for the wildest ride in the potosphere.
Did you just say potosphere?
Well, they said, you name it, we talk about it. I'm going to name some really random, obscure things, like in the 14th dynasty of China.
Right.
Why don't you talk about it?
Right.
They go.
No, I think
I'm for it.
Yeah. I like sometimes when Ben has a breakdown on something new, I see Ben's gay breakdown. And Ben's gay breakdown of, and then whatever title it's kind of funny when I see it across the thing. But he does a good job with that. They both do a good job.
They do. We invite you to go take a listen to TG Geeks over at tggeeks.com. Give Ben and Keith a listen. Shout out to the chat room. Who do we have here? It would normally be 9:30 on a Saturday night, but we had conflict on Sunday night. No, did I say Saturday? Sunday.
You can watch Technorama live.
Well, we're doing this Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. But I see
7:30 actually.
Mike Wills still hanging out with us.
Yeah,
you and me. Who else do we have? I'm gonna click the little.
Oh, I see my buddy Fred Smith.
All right, hey Fred.
I'm actually gonna talk about him in a few minutes.
Well, I don't see anyone else hanging out online, so it's a light night. But we encourage you to go over to facebook.com/technoramapodcast, give our page a like, join the group. Hang out, answer the questions, and there'll be a test at the end. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Now we get to thank our patrons, because this is my favorite part of the show. They're the ones who really make the show happen. Because this show is brought to you by you, our wonderful patrons. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the years, in some cases, years of support. And making this show self-sustainable with bandwidth and software and hardware replacement and upgrades and all that stuff. We don't take any money as salary because, well, that would just be greedy. But we reinvest it back into the podcast, the content that you appreciate so much. Thank you, Kyle Nishioka. Thank you, Avner Braverman. Gotta slow down. Ben Vaughn, thank you. Mike Wills, John Clifford, Gary Lindros, Night Gig Studios, very much appreciated. Megapodtastic, Leon and John Noble, thank you.
Wait a minute, yeah. I was told not to do that John Noble anymore.
But Leon backwards spells Noel. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, thank you, Saturday Morning Media, and Steve Therian, thank you, Jorgis Rowan, Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, thank you, Amy Bowen, for the Christmas card and for Denise Inglis, Stephen Wetchie, Dean Jensen, thank you very much, Dandy Mancoyer, NCAF1, Matt Baum, Christina, and our latest, Brian Brown. Thank you very much, everybody, for that. Appreciate the support. If you want to be a patron, you can go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast, and there you can have special content for as little as a dollar an episode as a thank you for contributing. We thank you with some extra content that only our patron, and we give you a shout out on the show.
And
yes,
we're going to be mailing them postcards after our cruise in a couple weeks.
We're going to do the cruise postcard thing again. So make sure you've got your postal address on the Patreon page, too. Or we're going to come and hunt you down and say, do you want a postcard? We'll be happy to send it to you.
We'll actually come to your house and just give it to you. Here,
like the guy who responds to a text message in person on the commercial.
LOL, come on in.
Yeah. Not much. How about you? Did you just respond to my text message by driving across town and answering it in person? Yes. Crazy.
You know
commercials.
What? Actually, I watched that and I was like, you know what? There should be more of that. People should do that more often.
Or the light beer commercial where the social media lady, she's, if you're spending too much time swiping left, you're going to miss what's right in front of you. And then she gets up and goes, hey, there's a beer. I'm going to go play pool.
A beer. All right.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Media corner time.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
The future is here, Craig.
Is it?
Yes.
I think it's always coming down the road.
This is one that I've been waiting for. A startup focused on invisible computing has unveiled a smart contact lens. You see what I did there with focused? Which delivers an augmented reality display in the user's field of vision. I want this. The Mojo Vision contact lens offers a display with, you know, maybe not a 1.0 product, but I'd like a, you know, get it when it's version 2.
I should try it. I want to see it.
It's got to be smarter looking than Google Glass, right?
Yeah. Well, that's actually what I was thinking of. You know, it wouldn't be, you know, Google Glass, a lot of people didn't like it because remember at first it had a camera on it.
Yes.
Remember there was a big uproar about that. Oh, people come into restaurants with my, you know, with a camera on their face.
No, restrooms, not restaurants.
I mean, well, you know, I get the restroom thing, but you know what I'm saying? They were freaking out. Sometimes they were freaking out too much about the camera, maybe a little too much and too little is kind of weird. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Mojo Vision contact lens offers a display with information and notifications and allows the user to interact by focusing on certain points. The rigid contact lens, which the company has been developing in stealth mode for some 10 years, may also help people with visual impairments by using enhanced imagery overlays and has obtained U.S. approval for testing it as a medical device. Quote, Mojo has a vision for invisible computing. Oh, the puns are just too much for this. Where you have the information you want when you want it and are not bombarded or distracted by the data you don't. So don't worry, you won't see one of those futuristic movies where there's ads all over the place jumping out at you. Would you like to buy this shirt? It's just your size. Yeah. And they show you an image of you wearing the shirt.
Great, I need an ad blocker on my contacts.
In a demonstration to an AFP reporter, company executives showed how the contact lens could enable users to see a virtual teleprompter, navigation instructions, or other interactions that appear floating in the field of vision by projecting a micro LED display to the retina. Cool. A user wearing two lenses, which may be fitted with corrective prescription, could click by concentrating on an icon to launch music player, for example, and turn it off by looking away. Don't roll your eyes at me, young man.
Yeah. What are you doing?
little boy rolls his eyes and his music stops. Oh man, I got to quit doing that.
You know, I don't know what's worse. Somebody looking at their phone doing stuff. Or them going.
Oh, I talk to people like that all the time. They just kind of, their eyes go off into the, you know, memosphere space.
That's just because they don't understand what you're saying. There's Chuck again.
Just nod, smile, and walk away.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing those. I'd be curious to find out how much they cost. Did it have a cost in that article? I did not see.
No. I think they're still starting up, so I don't think they have a price yet.
Well, good. Let's invest.
Okay.
If they're a startup, I'll throw capital at anything. Even this podcast.
You're part of the problem, Chuck.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, you're an enabler.
All right, speaking of enabling.
Yes. So, enabling. Well, you know, in Star Trek, the Mandalorian has really taken a life of its own.
The Mandalorian was in Star Trek?
Yes, absolutely. That's the way it works.
I think you just lost some points.
No. Actually, did I say that?
You did. You said in Star Trek, the Mandalorian is taking a life of its own.
I thought you said it.
No.
Anyway. So the Mandalorian is taking a life of its own. You know, it started off in Disney Plus. The series has been super popular. And I've seen everything from Baby Yoda this, that, and the other, and pictures of the Mandalorian are a real spaghetti western trailer cut up, you know, with footage from the thing. I even saw a Chips thing with the music, and they had somebody cut out video from the show and from the Mandalorian into the Chips thing. And anyway, so these are particularly cool. These are vintage comic book covers designed by artist and Instagrammer DVGLZV. I think I'm doing an eye test.
Was that his Twitter handle or something?
Instagram.
Okay.
So that's what I was saying.
Dude, you got to work on branding.
Yeah. Anyway, he did one cover for each of the 8 episodes in the first season of The Mandalorian. Anyway, if you go look at it, it has a very vintage feel. Like, these are old Marvel comics.
Yeah, they tattered up the edges too.
Yeah, tattered it up. They're 40 cents. And you see there's some action from the show. You know, it's something related to the show. But he did such a good job. I would think these were real comics, the way they look. But yeah, you go look. They looked aged. They have all the, you know, the comic code authority stickers on, or stamps on it.
Approved by the comic code.
Yeah, it's very cool. But yeah, he did one for each episode. So go check those out and give that guy some credit. Go follow him on Instagram. And that would be DVGLCV.
Sounds like his license plate.
Yeah.
But
actually, you know what?
Go ask him when the rest of the comic will be done.
Yeah. But if you go to his Instagram, he's got other ones there too. For Star Wars, Rise of the Skywalker. There's all kinds of, wow, there's a lot of them here. Huh. Very cool.
Alrighty.
There you go.
Yeah, very cool. Thanks for sharing. And finally, where's this from? Kotaku.com. Dad builds custom Xbox adaptive controller so daughter can play Zelda Breath of the Wild. So Xbox's adaptive controller has done some amazing things as far as accessibility in video games. But the setup isn't hardwired to only work on a Microsoft console. It can, with a little work, also run on the Nintendo Switch. And in doing so, bring an enormous smile to a little girl's face. Rory Steele built this custom pad for his daughter, who has been itching to play some Zelda along with her friends, and it is fantastic. And Donna can show you a little video up there with her just having a riot ball of a time as she sits in her chair and plays the game on the screen in front of her. So,
yeah, and you can go check out the Twitter videos that he posted as he's building it, and you can get an idea of how he did it. And yeah, he's got some short videos showing that.
That guy gets some dad points.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, a lot of those controllers, they're Bluetooth, or you can hook them up with a keyboard, you know, to do some stuff. So maybe I guess that's what he used. I didn't watch the video where he put it all together.
All right. And we have one other thing before we go.
Yes.
What'd you do last weekend, Craig?
Well, I took a big 5-hour drive with my buddy Fred, and went down to Georgia, which is, you know, like I said, about 5 hours from here, to Kingsland, Georgia, at the Neutral Zone Studios. And there they have a complete mock-up of the TOS Enterprise. It's all the sets, I think, except for McCoy's office. But they have sick bay. There was auxiliary control.
Kirk's quarters.
Yeah, the engineering, Kirk's quarters, the bridge, the transporter room, and I think I might be missing something.
Jeffrey's tube.
There was a Jeffrey's tube. Oh, and the shuttlecraft. But the exterior. It's like the cockpit part. I think I got a picture of that. I'll have to post that somewhere. Post that online. But yeah, it looks really good.
Did they have the M5?
No. But what's really cool is it's in a warehouse. So when you turn the corner, you're actually inside the place, especially going down the hallways and all that stuff. But you can kind of look up and see the ceiling. But when you turn the corner and you go around to the bridge,
yeah,
it's like just sitting there. It's kind of neat. You know, it's all so familiar from looking at it, but you actually can put your hands on it. It's kind of surreal. So Gary Lindros, you know, one of our patrons and good friends, he was there. He met me there me and Fred. And we just ran around about 9 o'clock. We got there. There wasn't many people at all at that point.
Yeah.
And it was open all day, I think till like 5 or 6. So from at 9 o'clock, we were just running around checking everything out. We were taking pictures and just having a good time with it. We made it to the bridge and we did a picture where it looks like we're, you know, leaning to the left.
Did you make a video?
Yes, actually we did.
Oh, good.
Fred's got the video. He walked around with the video camera and did the whole thing.
Like, you know, speaking of Computer History Museum, you know, you got to keep the tradition alive when you go to a place like that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he shot video, so we'll check that out. Let's see. Like I said, I took like 300 pictures. What's funny is some of the, you know, they built it. Of course, some of the switches, you know, will flip. Mm-hmm. But other things, it was like you were taking your kid to one of those science museums. And it's like they have a button there. They have like a button that? There where you can just, yeah. Well, they have just a button there where you can just spin it. It didn't really do much, you know. That's the way I kind of felt about some of the things, the details. You know, I'm like, I kind of expect something to happen, but it's not, of course.
What do you expect to happen? Leave space dock?
I don't know. Yeah.
Fire photon torpedo. Craig's pressing buttons. I expected to do something.
And I just felt kind of weird.
Not that button, Craig. No, stop. Stop.
Stop firing. But no, it's fantastic. They have it lit so well.
Not that button either.
Yeah. They have it lit so well. There's a couple pictures. Gary and I sitting at the helm. There's one that looks like it could be out of a, you know, one of the series. And the other one, he bent down to take a picture in front of Kirk's vault, you know, in the wall, little half wall. And then I was doing something and Fred goes, whoa, get down. This is perfect. And he had me get down on the other side of the half wall and I've got my phaser ready. Gary's got his phaser on the other side of the wall. Looks like we're about to jump up and shoot each other.
But there was a scene in Police Squad like that where they were shooting from behind garbage cans, but they're about four feet apart.
Yeah, that's about right. But it was lit so well. It looks like it's from an episode. It was just so much. It was so cool to be there and see everything. The beds, like in sick bay and Kirk's bed, the fabric, apparently Vic Mignogna, who plays Kirk in Star Trek Continues, he found a company to manufacture that fabric. It's kind of like gold interleaved with red, you know, so it's very 60s kind of fabric. He found somebody to make those. So they were like, don't lay on the bed. You know, they're trying to preserve the fabric. But they had everything there. They had a cryo tube. They, I wish I'd given you some of the pics. You could have showed them in the show.
So when we go there, I'll get to run around without my shirt on and with a sword and go, yeah,
you could. Yeah. I know exactly where to take you to right outside of the transporter room. Yeah, I got a couple good pictures behind the transporter console. I got Fred took one a wide angle. I'm on the transporter pad. I'm shooting my phaser towards Gary, and Gary's behind the console. You can see it across the room.
Were you wearing your goatee and your Mirror Universe outfit? Come on.
I should have.
We'll get Clinton to do that one.
Yeah. That was so much fun. And then
how long were you there?
We were really there for about 2.5, maybe 3 hours.
Okay.
Gary kind of nailed it. We were at breakfast and we're like, well, how long do you actually stay there? I mean, what are you doing during the day? He goes, really about two and a half hours. You've probably seen about everything. I was like, okay. And that's about right. You know, once you walk through it all.
And the screwing around factor.
Yeah, and then we just have fun. Oh, do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then people started showing up. And then after a while, it was
that
like
ruined it.
Yeah,
get out of our picture,
people. Yeah, after a while, you couldn't take a picture like of the hallway without somebody being in the picture. So
dress in normal street clothes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. AC/DC shirt.
Hey, Charlie X, back of the transporter. Yeah.
But I'll see if I can put these somewhere, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Everybody's welcome to go take a look. But we had some good ones, and I appreciate Fred driving. He drove and did video and took pictures of us and stuff as we were screwing around. I had my blue TOS uniform shirt on, and Gary had his gold one. It worked out.
All right. You're going to wear your blue shirt on the cruise, I expect?
Yes, it was. That was a double purpose for buying that shirt.
All right. Probably Dragon Con, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'll just take it to Dragon Con.
Get your money. Hey, but
I saw where you have something special for the cruise.
I do. I have two something specials. One is a gold Captain Pike shirt, jacket.
Mm-hmm. The jacket, yeah.
The jacket. And the second I'm not announcing until I get it and get on the cruise because the timing is going to be really tight. So
It was the same shirt that Sulu wore when he was with the sword. Is what you're talking about earlier?
No.
I got it.
No, it's got a little more class than that.
Oh, Star Trek thong?
And easier to put on than a Borg outfit, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that was the Star Trek thong I was proposing.
The
needs of the one outweigh the many or the few.
No, it said my needs outweigh the needs of the one and the many. Yeah, nice banana hammock you posted there on it.
Banana hammock.
And then everybody's responses, you know, we had everything from a Picard face palm. I put one of the minions from Despicable Me just going, mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
All right. That takes us to the end of the show. Thank you for sharing that, Craig.
Yeah. Well, I might have to get you down there.
Yes. We're going to have to go at some point soon. We're thinking maybe around the Dragon Con timeframe. We'll see. So plans for that are still in the works. We do have one final question of the week, and that is, what is very cheap today, or inexpensive, we should say, but will be very expensive in 20 years? Ooh, could be a natural resource. Could be
water.
Something else. Never know.
Technorama.
You expect that to be very expensive in 20 years?
Yeah, it's going to be like gold, like a fine wine. It's going to age. Properly.
Or are you saying you're going to have to pay me to do this show?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, think about it. We want to hear your thoughts. Until then, we're going to sign out, and we appreciate you giving us your time. If you want to get in touch with us, 707-530-2428 is the number you can call our listener line on. I haven't heard from some of you in quite a while. We called you out, Mark from Memphis. So let us know. Or send an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find all that information and more, including how to subscribe to this on many of your favorite podcatching or listening clients, over at chuckchat.com/technorama. Just search for Technorama Podcast on your favorite search engine. And don't forget about the Patreon thing. Think about it. Think about it quick. Don't think about it too long. That's good enough. Now go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and do it. Until next time. Craig, I think you have a well-deserved binary high five coming.
Yeah. 101, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.